Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 117. We're going to be talking about Fluent Community. It's a great new, semi-new product in the WordPress platform. It's a fantastic new solution if you're looking to build community on WordPress. Plus, we're going to be looking at some of the other SaaS-based solutions and then comparing it to Fluent Community. It should be a really fantastic show. Me and my beloved co-host Kirk have had quite a day already, so this should finish it off really well. So Kirk, would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers?
Absolutely, Jonathan. My name is Kurt Von Onen. I own a company called Mañana No Mas. We focus largely on learning and membership websites and do some business consulting. Also work with Jonathan directly at WP Tonic.
Yeah, and sometimes he wonders if that was a good choice, but I think you've done okay.
Yeah.
So let's start off. Oh, before we do that, we've got a great message from one of the major sponsors of the show. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
We're coming back, folks. I also want to point out we've got a great resource. If you're looking to build your membership community website on WordPress, and both me and Kirk think you should, we've got a really great course that shows you how to build it from beginning to end. Also, we've got a great discount price on this course, plus some great deals from the sponsors. You can get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals, and you can get the course at a discount rate plus some great offers all there. What more could you ask for? Me and Kirk wonder what else you could offer, but there we go. You find all the goodies there. So let's go straight in to Fluent Community. So it's from a great supporter of the show and a great plugin shop that produces Fluent CRM, Fluent Forms, and a number of other great solutions. And they produce this Fluent Community. So if you were trying to explain what Fluent Community was to a potential in the situation of some consultation, how would you explain it to somebody, Kirk?
You know, Jonathan, I use a term when I talk to my clients that might seem a little strange to somebody, but I say decentralized social media, right? I'm like, you know, one of the big buzz things coming up in sites is decentralized social media. They say, what does that mean? And I go, your own social media platform where you own it, you control it, you can host it wherever you want, and you're not fully dependent upon, you know, big tech like Facebook or X or some of these other platforms. And I'm very specific the way I phrase it. You know, I say you're not fully dependent because most people still have some kind of presence on those platforms. But if you can take the main bulk of your conversation and community and move it to your own property, you're not dependent on these other sources for shutdowns and outages or changes in you know, the way that they go or strategy. You know, you've got your own thing.
Yeah, the way I the way I explain it is that it is designed to be if you're used to Facebook groups, you're going to be very at home with Fluent Community because it's got a very Facebook group feel to it, plus live chat, element of forum mixed with Facebook social groups, all combined in, I feel, a really easy interface. It hasn't got all the swings and roundabouts of something like BuddyBoss or Mighty Networks or Circle CO, but I don't think, and I don't have any inside information here, but I think Joel and his team, I don't think they're wanting to develop an all-embracing solution because there's a suite, and when we talk about Mighty Networks or Circle in the second half of this show, it's going to be, I think hopefully it's going to become very apparent that if you try and build something that offers every option that the top tier power user would want, the consequence is, the automatic consequence is that you are going to end up with a complicated and a semi-bloated system. So every platform, every software platform has a decision between ease of use and what every option that a top tier power user would want. Is that making sense, Kurt?
Yeah. And again, when you're talking to clients, you know, a great phrase is our job is to reduce friction. These bigger, more bloated platforms do not reduce friction. They create friction for your users. And, you know, I think, and let's just be blunt at the beginning of the show here, for people that haven't really considered it yet, running a community is a job. Like, it takes effort. You have to, you know, you have to promote it. You have to moderate it. It takes a lot of work. And so you want to have a platform that is easy for you to manipulate and move around in. You know, you had mentioned BuddyBoss earlier. I think BuddyBoss is a great platform. It has tons of features. But in order to really use it, you're kind of locked into their theme. You don't have a lot of freedom and flexibility the way you want design-wise or usage-wise, and it's heavy. So most of my customers are also on LMSs and also have like WooCommerce for e-commerce things. And when you start adding these big platforms together on one site, they become very server thirsty. And so I really like the way Fluent Community put this out.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, but I don't agree. Well, it's not I don't agree with you. It's just that I've done a very deep dive on it. And I've come to this conclusion. It is much, much lighter in resources than BuddyBoss, because BuddyBoss is a great platform, but we don't offer it at WP Tonic with our starter plan anymore because it's in the name of the plan, starter. And I wanted to offer a affordable introduction, but the problem is people expect it to be top-notch straight away. So we only offer it on our middle plan now, BuddyBoss.
Yeah.
Because I just couldn't explain. But I thought it was in the name of that plan, starter. but with my dive, yes, you get about two-thirds of the power of BuddyBoss in a much lighter platform. But it is the way they have developed it. And in a plugin, the way that they have set it up is that you would be better off having it on a subdomain, because it does, I'm not saying it's layout, the layout of spaces. A lot of these platforms, folks, use a metaphor of spaces that gives you that Facebook feel. If you try and put Fluent Community with a page builder, with a theme, you're going to have to spend a lot of time with minor conflicts and changes, because the world of page builders in WordPress is so diverse now, from Elementor to Brix to Gutenberg based solutions like Cadence WP, which we love, to Astra, to full site editing with a theme that comes from Lifter LMS. It's so diverse. I think you would be better to have this on a subdomain on its own. It does have some course functionality. It's very basic. It's very similar to Scroll in the level of course functionality. I wouldn't use it for the course. I would use Lifter LMS on the main domain, and then I would utilize something like Fluent CRM. So when somebody signed up, if you were doing courses, when they sign up, they would be automatically enrolled on the subdomain in the Fluent community. And that's how I would do it. Because I think it really is best to leave the styling, apart from color changes, leave the layout. They might change this because they might introduce a library of Gutenberg blocks that would enable you just to move. They might go down that road, but they haven't at the present moment. And they might never do that, because that would increase their support tickets enormously, Kirk, if they went down that road. Because then they would have to support every type of page builder under the sun. Can you see where I'm coming from? And what's your response to what I've just outlined?
When you install it, you get the choice. You can put it on a subdomain, or it kind of does that subfolder thing, like, you know, slash portal, right? And it loads everything as slash portal, and then it builds all that in. And it does have its own look and feel, but it has a customization menu. And then I believe a snapshot of an interview you'll be doing shortly. I think WP Launchify actually has a customization product for Fluent Community, which isn't part of our conversation today, but there are tools where you can start to play with the look a little bit.
Yeah, and I don't think you should waste time on that unless it's really that is aimed at the semi-power user or the WordPress professional, in my opinion. But I see where it comes, and they might introduce their own, but I think they've done this deliberately. And I think for the average person, which this show is aimed at, it's best to have it on a subdomain.
Well, and I want to go one step further. And this is a great question that I've learned from another peer in the WordPress space. And that question is why, right? So many times you're working with a client and they're like, well, this needs to be this and this needs to be that. And this is unacceptable and it has to be. And it's got to be customized this way and that way. And you just go, why? Like, the whole idea is your choices, send them to a Facebook page, send them to a Facebook group, and you've got no control over anything and how Meta is going to run their program, right? Or have a similar interface in your own website that you manage and host, right? And so the answer, then the question very simply just becomes why? What are you in competition with? Why do you think everything has to be super high level branded and super high level customized and super, can you even grow the community? Right. So that's like the thing. A lot of people think they need community and they really don't even need it yet. So to me, it comes down to timing, and then it comes down to tool choice. and then what's there. You had mentioned Buddy Boss. I really like the Buddy Boss theme and the way it shows off blog posts and courses and lessons with the LMSs and stuff that it integrates with. That's great. To me, Lifter LMS is like the first, with their social learning, that's like the first level of community. And to me, Fluent's like right in between those two.
Yes, I would agree.
You got now, Fluent and then Buddy Boss.
Now, if you ever been involved with Buddy Boss, you can take the starter theme, which is really embedded with their plugin, and you can adapt it. But it soon gets expensive, and it soon gets very complicated. And when we quote at WP Tonic, we just get a gasp. But we're not prepared to do it on the cheap because it is so time consuming and it needs constant support. It's better to go with a subdomain and set it up the way that Buddy Boss has on their demo. And I have the same feelings at the present moment with Fluent Community, but it's much, much lighter. And it's a much more manageable environment with not every feature of the leading SaaS or Buddy Boss solutions, folks. Now, the other area that I want to point out in the first half of this show is that I've had already a couple of conversations with people saying, we need an app. We're looking at Mighty Network, or we're looking at Circle, and we're looking at a white labeled app. And that's all you can get with Circle. And that's great. And they haven't even got one paying student or one paying community member, folks. And I think that's semi-bonkers. Based on my experience, nobody's joining your community because you've got an app. It won't encourage one person to join your community. They might say it, but what they're really interested in is the value they get from the community. And don't take me wrong, folks, at the right stage, I think having an app will benefit your community, but it will make absolutely no difference to the average person that's looking to start a community and build it into something that could necessitate an app. Obviously, straight away, I'm getting the person, well, I've got a vibrant community on Facebook, on Discord, on Slack. I've got 1,000 members already. Well, you're in a totally different position. You're not the person that I'm focusing this particular part, the first half, to. What's your thoughts about this, Kurt?
Well, it drives you right back to the starter plan, doesn't it? You know, getting people in community is very, very difficult. Even switching people from one social plan to another. For example, Facebook groups seem to do pretty dang good. Facebook groups, Facebook pages, they tend to get traffic and followers. But if you've been in business for any length of time and you've tried to migrate that group or try to get them to also sign up for a LinkedIn group, you are in for a new experience. If LinkedIn groups, people just don't migrate from one platform to another. They all have a very different vibe. It's like people that love TikTok versus Instagram. You're not going to see a bunch of people bail off of TikTok and go to Instagram. That's why people freaked out so much when they were going to shut TikTok down. It is very, very difficult. And so when Jonathan says, you know, they want to have community in a purpose-built white-labeled app and they don't have a paying member yet, that is a giant red flag. To me, the app comes long after the need for an app because it's a large financial investment. It's capitalized and you got to make sure you have the flow for it.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. I was talking to a possible client and they had recently approached Circle and Mighty Network. Mighty Network started from $20,000 to $30,000. Mm-hmm. Circle started from $15,000 to $20,000 for a white label app. that's some serious money. I would argue that it's better to build something on Fluent Community, and then you could look at migrating the data and users. It's still going to be a process, but it's going to be a lot simpler to migrate because it's based on WordPress than to look at BuddyBoss. And to be frank, it is still the deal of the century to have a white labeled app on BuddyBoss, which might initially cost you a couple of $1,000s. And then they're offering two plans now, but I would still go with their upper plan, which is 70, just under, if you pay month to month, I think it's about 220, and I think it's 179 for the year. I still think that's the steal of the century when you compare to 20 or 30,000. There's no contest really, in my opinion. What do you reckon, Gert?
No, it's you're right. There's because time and time again, I have had people come to me and say they want to have an app developed for a Lifter LMS website and some kind of custom thing done. And when we quote that out, it's $25,000 to $30,000 to start playing in that ballpark. And people let it for an enterprise, for a large corporation, yeah, that's a conversation to have. But for a startup that needs to pinch pennies and reduce spending, you know, the quickest way to make money is to save money when you're starting up, right? Keep your expenses low. So the app is a thing for me to avoid. And what's interesting is you can show a lot of people, well, hey, you can save any website as an app on your phone and get that real estate on the phone. You just don't get push notifications. So which is it you're really looking for? You know, and they may default and say push notifications, but realistically, they want the space on the phone. They think that real estate has value to it. And you can do that with a standard website.
And it's going to be much, much harder to persuade people to download the app and get that real estate that people just don't realize, do they?
My wife works for Kroger, and I don't have the Dylan's Kroger app in my phone. I'm like, I'm not putting another piece of junk in my phone. You know, I just don't need that. And, you know, and like I said, my wife even works there. I don't care. You can keep the 5 cents a pound on beef. I'll pay the 5 cents a pound. I'm not putting the app in my phone and dealing with the nonsense.
I think we've had a good first half. I've lost total track of time because we started a bit late, but I think we've come to a good middle point. We're going to go for our middle break. And then in the second half, we're going to be talking about some of the obvious competitors, the Fluent Community, my own review. I'm going to be a bit spicy in the second half. I've got a few things to say about some of the reviews I've watched. It should be an interesting second half. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code PODCAST20. That's PODCAST20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back. We've had a good first half. I think we've given some excellent results and done a fair review in Fluent Community, which I really like what the team have done with it. But before we go into the second half, I want to point out we've got a great free resource that it's a Facebook group. I like to add that I started it before Fluent Community. It wasn't available when I started my Facebook group. But we got a great Facebook group. It's the Membership Machine Show. If you want any advice about any of the subjects that we've discussed, you can ask a question there and I will get back to you, I promise. And it's also got some great other members, WordPress people, people like you trying to build a membership or community. It's just a great resource and I'm always posting stuff on there. And it's totally free. So go over to Facebook and put in the Membership Machine Show and put it in there. And I'm sure you'll find it a useful free resource. So let's go on to the second half. So let's look at Fluent Community and Facebook groups. So we might as well. The big problem with Facebook, there's a couple major problems with Facebook, is that it's on a platform that I utilize it. I have a group on it. But I also despise the founder. I think he's a creep myself. This is my opinion. And I'm not all that warm and fuzzy about the managerial team, past or present, and you just don't own it. And that if they ever change, and you've seen this on LinkedIn, you've seen this on multitude of different social media platforms, they can change, especially what you saw at LinkedIn, because a lot of people invested a lot of time and energy on their LinkedIn groups. And overnight, it was just decimated and destroyed, wasn't it? And that's just put me off. But at the time, it was the right solution, because I had problems with Slack as well, because unless you got people that vary in the tech field, Slack isn't the most easiest. I think I probably would have been better off on Discord, but that's not the most easiest platform to use either. But there wasn't nothing like Fluent at the time. And the other thing is, it is not designed to sell subscriptions. You can't do it. So it's got some major negatives where I think Fluent Community really fills that gap. What do you think?
I definitely agree with that, because every time someone gives me a Discord link, now I don't even try. I think I'm just too old. I'm too old for it. Thinking kids. Slack is very similar to me. I use it when I have to for business, but I am not in there floating around Slack channels trying to socialize. I'm getting messages from employers and contractors that tell me what to do next. And then, I delegate that work and execute on the next thing. So there's a use case there that makes sense from a social perspective, where people want to come and hang out and be social and share things and all of that. I'm not seeing that in Slack. I know that young people like this Discord thing. Mastodon's a big name. People talk about Mastodon a ton. Not seeing it. I'm going to go back to the big tech thing that you started out with. During the COVID crisis and the amount of censorship and stuff during the election campaigns, as that stuff came out with like the Twitter files and all of that stuff, it really just bubbled to the top for me. As an entrepreneur, as a business owner, I can't rely on them to be a platform for me, because you don't know where the ebbs and flows are going to go in the future. You don't know who's going to be in control of that censorship arm the next time. You don't know if you're going to be on the favorable side or on the negative side, right? And so if you're depending on big tech to carry your message for you and to be your marketing arm, I don't think that's a very smart decision. So yeah, Fluent really scratches that itch, gets it done.
Now, you're the master of LinkedIn. You've written a whole course. He's got a course on over me about LinkedIn, and it's a great value course. Can you explain what happened to LinkedIn around groups? What led, you got any insight what led to them actually? I've got to say, I can't use the word, it begins with S, on on LinkedIn groups, basically. Do you know the story behind it for their decision and that?
I think, and you kind of have to go to human nature and people being prideful and judgmental. And those are both negative things, but that's the way that I think LinkedIn suffers sometimes. People, like someone will post something that's not business oriented. They'll say, this isn't the space for that. You know, LinkedIn isn't the space for that. Go post this on Facebook or something. And I think when people tried, even in a professional way, to have some kind of social interaction or integration with community inside LinkedIn, I just don't think it was very well received because people were trying to use it to, like, you know, pump out their latest, you know, CV or resume or, you know, publish some, like, some business wise. And I think that's kind of what happened. I think they built a culture that just was anti-fun community, right? But when I look at what I can do with LinkedIn with direct messaging, having a properly set up profile and using their Boolean search features to network with others, it's a very, very strong platform. But it's not good for so. That said, there's still a couple of really big successful groups there, but they are very much professional groups, work-oriented, and focused on growth or development.
Well, that's my strategy on LinkedIn. I just post educational content.
Yeah.
And I post a fair bit, but yeah, I do not. And I might should really ramp up with advice through the comments and that. I might do a bit more. And I do with it, was Twitter. I'm still good at Twitter. I post content on there and I use the lists. I do not engage in the general feed. If I am going to comment, I have a list of people in a list that I follow. I am not interested in the general feed. I might look at it a little bit, but I generally go into about 3 lists that I have. And it's the same with Facebook. I am not really interested in the general feeds of these platforms because I consider them pretty toxic. And I have some rough days as it is, and I'm English, so I need to brighten myself up, not get myself additionally depressed about the level of stupidity that is mostly on these platforms.
But everything that you just said very strongly edifies the core message we're talking about today. So when you look at the amount of bots and fake accounts and propaganda and foolishness that is on big tech's social media channels, you know, for a lot of the population, that constant distraction and dopamine hit kind of thing, maybe that's what keeps a lot of people going with the doom scrolling. But if you have your own social account, your own social community within a site that you manage, that you host, you're in control of that. And then, so you don't have all this trolling, you don't have all this bot nonsense, you don't have all this propaganda. You have people that are focused on whatever your niche is and focusing on that. And that is what's going to create that stickiness for you. And if people can get a like or a share in something that they're really committed to, that's within a niche that they love, that dopamine hits a lot stronger and that creates that stickiness for your own web project.
Yeah. I'm going to swap it. I'm going to look at the next one, but I'm going to swap it around. I'm going to start with Fluent Community with Mighty Networks.
Okay.
Mighty Networks is one of the more mature platforms. It's had a revamp. I forgot what they call it, their starter plan, which is around $39, is one of the cheaper solutions. The problem with it is, I wouldn't say it's totally crippled, but it's missing some major elements in this plan. I think it's their community plan. And you could say, yeah, it's in the name, community, because they've disabled all the membership subscription elements in that community. And anybody that's thinking of using Mighty Networks, there might be the odd internal company, but most people are going to want some paid subscription to it, and it's not available in that plan. So you've got to look at the next one up, which if you pay the year is around just under $100 a month. Plus they've got transitional fees on top, fixed fees that they put on top of the Stripe fee, which you've got to dig down. So, and finally, they've done a revamp and they have improved it. They left it for a very long time. I think they were feeling the heat from some other platforms that drove them to, and it's a lot better. It's a lot better, but it's still, in my opinion, a bit of a hot mess when you actually go in trying. It's a bit like Kajabi. Yeah, it offers the kitchen sink, and there's only so far through good UX and usability development that you can make something reasonably easy to use if you're offering everything. And they offer a lot, but you get, and they've made it better, but it's still a bit of a hot mess, in my opinion. What do you think?
I tried Mighty Networks a couple of times before the revamp, and I lost my patience. Yeah. It wasn't worth to me. It wasn't worth the mental commitment to figure out what the heck I was supposed to be figuring out in there. And to be honest, I felt that way in Kajabi too. I'm like, Kajabi looks like this easy to use plug and play.
It isn't. That's why they have a whole, well, and it's the same, sorry to interrupt, but Kajabi has a whole army of consultants and Mighty Networks has an army of consultants, and that should tell you something, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I have really struggled with it. And so I haven't been to the revamp idea of it. I don't like the pricing structure. When you start looking at something that's going to cost you $12, $13, $14, $1,500 a year, you know, and they're taking a cut of your, cut of your subscriptions on top of that, it's weird because you don't own it. It's not yours. And that platform is the way
there's no way of exporting the data, is there?
And when they have a change of heart or change direction on something, you don't have a say in the matter. Right, it's just the way that it is. So yeah, I'm not a big fan of it, which makes me a hypocrite because the next one you're going to bring up, I actually have positive things to say.
Yeah, I have, but also I've got some critical things to say, and especially I've got some critical things to say about some of the main social media influencer pushers and what they say, and I'm going to name some names. So let's go on to Circle. Now, Circle, it really, the other thing is that Mighty Networks does offer, you can build a publicly facing marketing website with Mighty Networks and have the community elements logged in. Now, with Circle, you can't, that you do get a website, but it's a bit like what we said about Fluent Community and about Buddy Boss. It's best as a subdomain. And really, you'd be better off using something like Squarespace, Wix, or WordPress, and we suggest WordPress, for your publicly facing marketing website. And you have the Circle on a subdomain, so you can't quite do. They both on their homepage, it says you get a website, and technically you're correct. But Mighty Networks is a bit more like Kajabi in that element. I don't actually like much of the templates in Mighty Networks. I think Kajabi does a much better job, but that's my opinion. But when it comes to the actual interface, Circle are still, it's much more superior than Mighty Networks, even with the update. They have improved Mighty Networks, but compared to Circle, it's still what we would say in London, a bit of a dog's breakfast, in my opinion. But, and this is the but, they also charge transactional fees, and their pricing, they only offer the yearly pricing up front. They do offer month to month, but you've got to search for it. They're pushing the year and the marketing automation. They want to charge extra fee on top. And it gets expensive pretty quick. Pretty quick. It gets more pricey. I would say that the starter plan, when you end up, it's the same as the middle plan of Mighty Networks. You're going to end up coughing up $1,200-$1,500, aren't you?
Yeah, because their next level up, business level, puts you at like $2,400, right? So it's $2,400 for business level, which to me would be, you know, kind of the plan that people would go to. You know, because the starter plan always gets you going, but usually you need to expand, you know, get into the workflows and some of the branded email notifications and stuff that come with the business version. So I don't know, man. The marketing thing, when I looked at that, it was like for $600 a year, I could market to 3,000 people. It said, how many contacts do you have? 3,000 people was $50 a month. So that's $600 a month on top of this. To email people, right?
And a year. You say a month, a year.
Yeah, for the year. Yeah. And that seems pricey.
Yeah, and they got these transactional fees. Now, this is my opinion, folks. There's a couple of influencers I watch. I thought the worst one was Josh Hall, because he knows better. And he pushes this hard. And he pushes some other courses, some other solutions like Divi and some other stuff, and it's up to him. You know, this is just my personal opinion, and he doesn't really make it clear that he's a big affiliate of Circle, and I have a problem with that. And some of his videos about Circle, in my opinion, are a bit misleading. And he doesn't make it clear that he's a major affiliate of Circle. And I have a personal problem. You listeners and viewers might not have a problem with that, but I do. And he's all over YouTube with his reviews on Circle. And my personal belief is that they're a bit biased, to say the least. Another major influencer from Australia is Kate McKibben. She's a major, and she's the same all over YouTube. She is more fairer, more balanced on the reasons why she moved to Circle, and she does a real knife attack on Mighty Networks. The reasons why she moved and didn't choose Mighty Networks are very case heavy, very specific to her very specific needs. And she's also a big affiliate of Circle. And this doesn't affect Circle, it affects Kajabi, it affects there's one of the problems with YouTube is affiliate marketing. And I've got nothing fundamentally wrong with it, because we are WordPress, but I make it clear what my biases are. And I've got nothing fundamentally wrong with affiliate marketing, as long as they make it clear at the beginning that they are a major affiliate of the software that they are reviewing. Do you think I've been too harsh here, Kurt?
You follow the money.
Yeah.
Follow the money, right? When I look at the cost of Circle and I compare it to what I could do with Fluent Community in my own site, obviously, you know, you and I, we go down the WordPress road. So we are biased in that way. But I look at the dollars and I look at the result and I go, I would much rather have my own WordPress website hosted where I want to host it and have the tools that I want to have and be able to add plugins and augment the site and create that flexibility than going with somebody's paid platform. That said, I'm going to throw his name out again. Kevin Geary's whole thing is on Circle. Like when you...
Oh, yeah, I was aghast that he goes on my podcast and he's trying to build a business on WordPress and he says, I'm on Circle. I wasn't really fundamentally aghast, but part of me thought, do you realize how you're coming across, Kevin? Do you really understand what you're saying? But people have to make their own choices, don't they?
They do. And here was my thinking on that. It's, I have seen, 1,000 WordPress professionals jump into that Circle platform and talk and use it and share ideas and critiques and comments. And it's obviously working. And the user experience as a user, not a manager of it, has not been largely disappointing. It seems to work. Sometimes the sign-in gets funky. Like I got to sign in multiple times or whatever. But it's working. The thing that I found incredibly insightful, and take this for what it's worth, is we see what he does on his YouTube channel. He's the WordPress guy, right? You're going to be a professional. If you're doing this, you're a chump. And then we sign in and he's got Circle. At first I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Something is grossly misaligned here. But then reality hit and it was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
He thinks that Circle is a complete enough platform that he can use that effectively, not have to worry or have the mental baggage of running a community site while building the other things that he builds. Now he can focus on what he needs to focus on and not worry about babysitting some other site. But I don't think I still think it's a weird disconnect.
It's a difficult one, but you understand it. So we're going to finish up. We're going to finish up now. So what's the best way for people to find out more about you, Kurt?
Well, Mañana No Más, mañananomás.com, Mañana No Más on X, Mañana No Más on Facebook, or hit me up on LinkedIn, Kurt Von Onen on LinkedIn. I'm the only one there that's called Kurt Von Onen. When you find me, you know you got the right guy.
We're wrapping it up. We'll be back next week with another great show on the marketing or review. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.